Blog Talk Radio.
This is a special presentation of Rapture Ready Radio. These are the interviews recorded live at Future Congress 2 in Dallas, Texas. And now we bring you the interviews right here exclusively on the Rapture Ready Radio Network.
Well, welcome to Rapture Ready Radio Network, broadcasting from the Future Congress Conference in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. I'm here with my good friend, Lacey Jones, and we're here before a live studio audience. So thank you all for joining us. And Nathan, how's things going so far?
Oh, I'm having a great time. It's good to be with you, Brian. And it's great to be on Rapture Ready Radio and at this conference.
Absolutely. This is just a wonderful event. So much going on here. Bible prophecy, and I think just about anything you can name. And we are looking today to discuss the science of technology. So I know that's sort of your bread and butter, as you are the web minister for Lamb and Lion Ministries. And so begin by telling us a little bit about the science of technology and how you use technology within the ministry for Lamb and Lion.
Okay, well, let me give you a little background then. When I started off, I went to Bible college where my wife, we were both destined to go into the mission field and work with street children. And I worked at a mission board, UFM International, in their IT department, and I just started learning computers. You know, while they're talking about motherboards, I'm asking, is that a keyboard? I mean, they laughed at me a lot. I didn't know anything about technology. After that, I moved on and worked for a bank. I went back to tech school and found the love of web development, design, and opportunities. I went for work for an ISP. And as I was working for the ISP for a few years, I felt so far from doing ministry. I was praying, Lord, you know, like, I was meant to go to the mission field, and here I am. I'm loving what I'm doing, but I'm not doing ministry. I found this church, Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and they needed a web developer, and eventually I got there and became a web architect, and I got to use those skills for ministry. But I really wanted to reach not just one congregation, but the entire world. So it was a great blessing. Dr. David Reagan came up to speak at the church, and through a mutual friend, said, hey, you know, he's looking to turn his website into a web ministry. Maybe you'd be interested. So that's what he called me in his, you know, deep voice, hello, David. And said, I'd like you to come down and be interviewed. And 5 years ago, I moved to Dallas with my family, and I now serve at Lamb and Lion Ministries. And really to utilize the web technology that's out there today to reach people for Christ, just like y'all do at Rapture Ready. It's just awesome that we can reach a third of the world population on the internet right now. And with cell phones and tablet phones becoming more and more popular, it's doubling and getting more and more people. And the opportunities to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ and his soon return are more now than they've ever been. God has given us a tool, and he's given me the skills, and I can look back now and say, oh, that's what that was all about. That was what I thought was a hiatus. It was God preparing me to do this, and at Lamb and Lion Ministries, we get an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to reach people for Christ and tell them that he's coming soon.
And I think, you know, Nathan, we are just really living in a privileged age today, and I think a lot of people take that for granted because, you know, we're in an era where through things like the internet, you mentioned the smartphone, we have so many things right here at our hands that we can use to spread the gospel to. You know, we can literally get a message to the opposite side of the world in seconds. And then you compare that to the days of the Bible, in which they had to write letters, and the amount of time that it took to get a letter just 25 miles away, and here today we can do it in just a matter of a second. It's just amazing the doors that God has opened for us, and I think that is what the scripture partially was referring to, which it said in the last days how the gospel would be spread throughout the world. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, when you think about Jesus' timing, people say, well, why 2,000 years ago? No, why not 4,000 or 5,000 years ago? There was a technology or technological reason behind Jesus coming when he did, and that's the Roman Empire. When they took over all that area, they built road systems so they could move their armies to and fro very quickly, as quickly as feet and chariots to take them, and it revolutionized the way an empire could be held. And for 1,000 years, the Roman Empire flourished. There was a technology that was also used with Jesus and the disciples. They could use that road system and the naval system that they had and go all over the known world at the time and share the gospel. So Jesus' timing fell right in that time period where there was a technology that united an empire. Today, that technology that unites a world empire is the internet, the communication systems. And just a few years ago, Billy Graham, in one of his last crusades, said through technology, they reached more people at that crusade than all of his crusades before that. Because more people could access it through radio, satellite, internet, television, every country on the planet. This is the type of tools that the Lord has given us now to share the gospel with people around the world. And it's accessible to everybody who has it. I mean, anybody can be a web minister. I'm called a web minister, but anybody who picks up a cell phone and tweets or gets on Facebook and shares the gospel, who builds their own website, blogs, you know, who emails people, you can reach so many people for Christ now. And it's a ministry in my position. I get to talk to people all over the world every day. I'm touched when people, like especially Muslims, bring people right in and say, that I'm talking to you and that I'm on your website, if anyone knew, they would kill me. You know, these are people coming out of like Saudi Arabia and countries like that. So we can share the gospel and reach areas that physically we might not be able to go into, but through technology we can.
Yeah, that's great. And I will say I applaud and commend what you're doing. I think you are, I view you as a trailblazer. What's happening now, you inspired me. I shared that with you in the past, that when I visited your website, and I started thinking to myself, I can do something similar. Of course, I'm not as good as you are, but, you know, to minister, to use the internet to reach the world. And just like with our parent website here, Rapture Radio Network, you know, Rapture Radio, again, a great informational resource where, you know, literally millions of people are visiting to learn about the gospel, to learn about Bible prophecy. There are new websites out there that, you know, it's sort of a, well, here we are, but there's really not a lot of information that ministers to people. And what I see you doing, I can see so many others following in your footsteps. So I just commend you for what you're doing there. And but let's look a little bit at what the scripture has to say and how the Bible prophesied some of the things that we are seeing happening today concerning technology. So let's first of all look at knowledge. The Bible talks about the fact that in the end, as we get closer to the return of Christ, knowledge will increase. And I think the knowledge of technology is part of that. So can you speak to that a little bit as well?
Well, sure. We know for certain that knowledge comes from God. God is the source of knowledge. He's the provider of knowledge. He's the protector of knowledge. And he's the giver of knowledge. So any way that we have knowledge, we can know that it's from God. He is not only the source of it, but the application of knowledge, which is wisdom. And basically the definition of technology is how to use knowledge to solve problems and create things. That's basically what technology is. It's not electronics. It's not gizmos. It just creative solutions to problems. And God has inspired us throughout time, as he sees fit for us to have it, to have that type of knowledge and information. And he gives us 9 signs of technology that show that we are in the end time. At least I've categorized into 9 sections here, 9 signs. But by observing technology, by listening to what the Bible has to say about it, we can know that Jesus is coming soon. You just had mentioned there Daniel 12:4, which reads, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." You probably picked one of the greatest signs of technology verses in the Bible there is that Daniel had just been given all this information about the end times, the time of the end times, the latter days, which is the time that precedes Jesus' second coming, the second advent. And the angel was saying here that, Daniel, you know, here's something. You've been lying here. You're just not going to understand it. Because, you know, Daniel's like, please explain it to me. No, sorry. And also that God's like, I don't want them to have this type of information. So, seal it up into the end times, and 2 things are going to be happening. 2 signs will have to show that we are near the end. 1, knowledge shall increase. The ability for us to learn things and to grow, facilitated by, say, computer technology, which is probably the greatest technology to help mankind develop and grow and learn new things. The ability to store that information, and anyone knows who stores things on the internet, it's getting cheaper and easier. You've got terabyte hard drives and stuff like that now. And the discovery, every discovery we have builds one on top of another so that exponentially our discoveries are growing. So the knowledge increasing is just, and you hear that angel said, at this time of the end, knowledge shall increase. knowledge is increasing right now. I would also say that when it says knowledge shall increase, that also means that understanding the Bible prophecy increases. But that certain sign, say Israel becoming a nation once more, shows that we can fill in the pieces and Bible prophecy becomes clearer and clearer to it. So as our knowledge of Bible prophecy increases, so too is the fulfillment of that, showing that we are in the end time.
Exactly. Now let me ask you this question, because we are talking about technology and how we are using it for the gospel, for Bible prophecy to spread the message. I don't know about your experience, but growing up, I would hear a lot of conspiracies out there where people would say computers is the means by which the Antichrist will come about. There are people who say they think computers are evil, and I think anyone that touches a computer, you're playing with the devil. So what? How do you address those people that believe that a computer is bad, a computer is evil, and cannot be used for something valuable?
I find the people that say that, and it's growing rarer and rarer as technology, especially computers, become more affordable, are people who are scared of change. You know, and I don't mean to insult anybody who hates computers. That's fine. My father death, but he would never touch a computer if he could help it. You know, and it's something new. We don't want to bother to learn about it.
Yeah.
There's a fear of the unknown, and when you have the fear of the unknown, we start attributing it to people. And I would say that technology in and of itself, if it's the knowledge of how to build it, how God's universe works, and we're starting to figure some of that out and apply that, that's a good thing. Now, how we utilize technology, on the other hand, obviously is evil. Medicine, for instance, is a great utilization of technology. And I would say, and we might get into this later, that medicine is another sign of technology, that we can extend our ages and grow the population so much. But technology in itself is evil. How we use it determines whether it's evil or not. And I don't think people should fear it. I mean, and we can get into some of the technologies that the Antichrist will use when we talk about that. And that is a misuse of technology. The technology in and of itself is evil.
Right. It's just like saying that, you know, a butcher's knife in the hand of a serial killer is obviously going to bring about bad results, but in the hand of a chef, you get a bull being in. So, you know, it all depends on what you're using it for. So, computers in and of themselves are not evil, but yeah, there are a lot of bad things, especially with the internet. You know, there are bad things on the internet, but then there are a lot of good things on the internet as well. But what are some other categories that you have for technologies and the different signs and categories for what we're seeing in technology today?
Sure. Well, the second sign, I would say, was also part of Daniel 12:4, and that's the going to and fro. That travel will increase, and as we get closer to the end times, that people will travel to and from more, both to get knowledge, but also to get places. And you think about how much technology has changed in the way of the transportation industry in the last 100 years. I mean, this is 1913. Primarily, people were still in horse-drawn wagons. There were some cars. The plane had been invented, but it hadn't been quite utilized yet. Most roads were dirt. Our highway system barely existed. I mean, and just think, in 100 years, we have gone to the moon. We have a space station up in orbit. For a while, we had the Concorde. We could travel across the ocean in just a few hours. I made it to Israel on one of our Israel trips in 11 hours. Halfway across the planet, when Mark Twain went back in the 1800s, it took 3 months by boat and land. So the ability for us to travel and transportation has made the world smaller, which plays into the end time. But it's also a sign that Jesus is coming soon, just like in the 12th quarter.
Yeah, and so many things I think about when you say that, you know, with the travel and how things would increase. You know, we know stories of many centuries ago where wars had actually already been declared over, but men were still fighting and being killed because the message had not yet reached them. You know, it would be weeks and months later, and so people were dying simply because communication had taken so long. Travel is nowhere near what it is today, but we see advancement today, and so it's just amazing. And I was recently on a trip, and as we landed, it was at night, and I looked over my shoulder out of the airplane window, and I could see the lights of the planes as they were coming in for a landing. And I literally counted 7 planes coming in, one behind the other. And I was just amazed. Okay, look how much travel is increasing. Just like the book of Daniel said, in the end, we go to and fro. Travel and knowledge is increasing there. And we're seeing these things taking place right before our very eyes. They're so common that we don't really stop and think about it. But you know, I have a grandmother who's 91 years old. And she told me that she was 26 before she ever traveled on the interstate. 26 years old. But now I go to the airport and I see little babies, infants, and they're boarding planes. And so we're traveling faster, farther, and even earlier in age than ever before. And I feel like as the book of Daniel tells us, those are people we would see as we get closer to the end.
That reminds me of my grandmother. She was alive. She'd be 101 this month. And she told us that when she was in her 20s, they got their first car. And at the time, you had to wear goggles because it would fill up so much smoke and dust. So picture having to put goggles on before you got in your car, and the max speed of that car was 35 miles an hour. So times have changed considerably.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we've looked at the increase in knowledge. We see travel increasing, and we've already touched on computers and internet. But when it comes to the internet, can you share with us a little bit as to the history of it? What was the internet created for? Because we use it today as really a worldwide informational informational piece. But what was it originally created for? And even if you want to give some dates and time frames as to when the internet was created and really the purpose of it.
Okay. Well, back in 1988, Al Gore created the internet. And no, he didn't claim he created the internet. No, actually, back in the 1960s, the major universities wanted to connect their educational system. You know, the university is always in the forefront of research with student research and all. And they wanted to connect their very large, you know, back then computers took up a whole room, systems. And so they invented the ARPANET, which was to connect different computers. The military got in on that and then started developing and growing. Most computers all computers have been DOS-based. In other words, it's all just text. A lot of programming is very difficult for people to use. And the internet stayed pretty much in academia as well as military. In the early 1990s, Bill Gates and some other companies, you debate who invented Windows first, but Microsoft's given the credit for it, and they invented Windows 3.1, and that was revolutionary because it took something that was complicated and turned it into a visual with graphics and stuff, and it started catching on. And of course, Microsoft really pushed hard in the PC era, where everybody had their own personal computer. That was something new and all. And so in the 90s, the internet started growing and expanding greatly. It's then people could connect to different things. Search engines with Yahoo and Ask Jeeves at the time, and different ones came out. Then you could search information better, and it made it more useful. As time has gone on, it's become beyond just information-oriented. It became more entertainment-oriented. We've seen that at least in the last 5 years or so with Netflix. And people want to watch TV. People want to do their communication. Social networks started blooming. And so pretty new, it became a third hand, so to speak, how people communicate and interact with people. Now the entire world has pretty much, the statistics show the world population last year, 33%, a third of the world population. And that's the internet utilizes it. The satellite and cell phone, cell tower technology has gone all over the place. Missionary to China told us that even though it's how big and poor China is, you can go anywhere in China and get cell phone connectivity. They put cell towers everywhere. So the internet has become a major way that we can communicate. But another thing, and this would play into what I would say is the third sign of the time, and this is another major check, is the mark of the beast. People that want to get know and they're worried about, oh no, the mark of the beast. Now, mark of the beast, and you find that in Revelation 13, 16, 17. The false prophet forces everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. So when the Antichrist takes over the world from that seven-year tribulation, near the midpoint, the false prophet, who is the Antichrist's right-hand man, will institute a system for buying and selling one world at a time. And what it means is that you'll have to have the Antichrist name on your right hand or on your forehead. Now, people want to know, what is the technology behind that? How do you control world commerce? Well, anybody who does banking nowadays knows that the money isn't even real anymore. It's pretty much electronic numbers floating around. You need a computer system, you need a network, and you need an internet to connect it all together. Now, whether that mark is a tattoo, obviously John said he can see it. He can see it on the right hand or on the forehead, not in. So when people say, oh, the RFID chip, that's going to be the mark of the beast. Well, If you can't see it, then how could it be the mark of the beast? It's got to be something visible. It's got to be the number of the Antichrist or his name. There's magnetic inks that are human safe. You know, maybe the mark has information. They can scan your head or your hand, and it does all electronic. I got to say, that's a wonderful idea. I hate having to carry around a wallet and credit card because it's stolen. But you need a computer network. You need e-commerce, internet. The RFID chip could play into it, maybe underneath the mark. I don't know. But however the technology plays out, we have the infrastructure today to do that. Matter of fact, when a country wants to go war against another or a particular person, they just freeze their assets right out of the bank. All your money cut off. So to control people, the Antichrist and false prophet will use their ability to eat. You can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And the mark is a loyalty mark to the Antichrist. They, you take it to show that you are loyal to him and particularly his master, which is Satan. And those who don't take it, the Bible says, will be killed. And many Christians will be slaughtered at that time. And I'll say tribulation thing. I say Christians, not the church, because the church is raptured before this. But the tribulation things will die in mass or starve to death because they won't be able to buy or sell.
And so when you say that, it can be a definitely a visible mark on the hand or the forehead. You know, my mind went back to I've seen images, renditions, I guess you could say, of the mark from back in the 80s when the barcode was
part
of it. And you saw the pictures of someone who had a barcode across their forehead. But I mean, really, it may not be far-fetched. Now, it may not be barcode. We don't know the technology, but it sounds as though, yes, it would be something that can definitely be seen in some way, and that's going to be delayed. But I think that you were saying, though, also, that we should not necessarily be afraid of things like barcode readers or whatever, because it is not those things, the technology in and of themselves that could be a marketing, but the foundation, the means by which the Antichrist will implement a system are there. So he will sort of, I guess you could say, hijack some form of technology and use that to implement the system.
Definitely. A lot of people are scared about taking the mark of the beast unwittingly and then being sent into hell. Because you take the mark of the beast according to Revelation, meaning there is no chance for salvation. You have declared your loyalty to Satan and you are going to hell for it. And so people worry. They're like, oh, no, what if I take the chip? Or, you know, what if we have to go to medical codes where there's a barcode or something? You know, they're really scared about that. And they don't have to be. Now, a lot of folks that believe that the rapture happens during or after the tribulation, they worry about it. They worry about who the Antichrist is. They worry about taking the mark because they feel they will live during that time. There are so many verses in the Bible, like say Revelation 3:10, that assures that God will not pour his wrath out on his bride, the church. We will be raptured out before the tribulation. And since the Antichrist doesn't even implement the system until 3.5 years or so into the tribulation, there is no reason that any Christian now today has any fear whatsoever of taking the mark of the beast. And at that time, it's not going to be, whoops, I accidentally took it. It is a loyalty mark. It is a declaration of faith in the Antichrist and Satan. And those people who take it willingly know what they're doing. Because after 3.5 years of tribulation, and after especially the Gog Magog battle, the world knows that God exists. And they know who they're declaring their allegiance to. So no one can accidentally take the mark now, and even during the tribulation, it's not accidentally taken.
I agree with you, most accurate. Now, what about when we talk about the Antichrist and the tribulation and his system? Do you think that robotics or holograms will play any role at all? Of course, we can't know 100% certainty, but could you see some of those things being used by the Antichrist or by the false prophet?
Oh, certainly. I mean, the guy has the entire world under his power. He has control of the technology. You can read about in Revelation 13:13-15. He, and again, we've got the false prophet, performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth and to be with men. And because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, the Antichrist, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lives. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so they could speak, and caused all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Now this story is very similar to the story in Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was given the prophecy about him being a great head of gold that went to his head. He decided to make a great statue of himself, and he told the people to worship it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship it. I don't know where Daniel was at the time. And the they were to be killed for. They were thrown in the fiery furnace, and God saved them. And again, the Antichrist, we're going to see history, well, we won't, but the people who are in tribulation will see history repeat itself. The Antichrist will have the false prophet create an image of him that people can worship. Now, the false prophet is a deceiver, and Satan is a deceiver. They do not have the ability to create. The ability to create is in God's hand. They can manipulate, they can pervert, but they can't create. So that this image, it seems to be alive, is just that. It seems to be alive. It's not really alive. And so obviously there's got to be some ways to create something like that. And there's a few technologies out there. For one, the fire falling down, stuff like that. You know, any pyrotechnic special effects person can do that. Possibility. And this fire from heaven to kill people, you know, it could be a laser satellite technology, a satellite up there, and the military, I'm no expert on this, but I've read a number of articles where the military has been working on laser guided weapons from outer space. Why shoot a missile when you just burn someone right from orbit? Maybe that's the case, I don't know. There's a lot of talk about the image of being a robot. Robotics have excelled incredibly, especially in Japan. The Japanese use robots as dance instructors. Crazy enough, some guys are using them as surrogate wives. I guess they're supposed to turn the wife off. I don't know. But I won't go there. But I tend to think it's holograms. And recently, holographic technology. I saw a video of Hatsune Miku. She is a Japanese three-dimensional hologram with a Vocaloid processor that everything about her, the voice, supposed to be a 16-year-old girl. She looks like she's on stage. She's kind of got kind of a bluish hue, but that goes with her manga type. They can make her look totally human. And with that, you could, if you did a type of computer with kind of, I don't know if artificial intelligence will develop enough, but enough that there's programs that interact with people. There are quite some programs like that, that you could give it a personality, you could give it an image, and it could interact with people, and it could be any size you want, and people could worship it. To me, a hologram seems to be the best bet, but again, I don't know. People say, well, you know, it could be satanic. Well, it could be that the Antichrist, I don't know if people possess a hologram or a robot. They could say that it'd be demonic in origin, and that's where it gets its life. I won't discount that. But if we're talking technology, then robotics or holograms are probably the best bet.
And in the hologram technology, I recently saw with Blitzer, they showed him through hologram, and it was very difficult to tell that it was a hologram and not actually himself there. And there was another pastor, if I remember correctly, I think it was Ed Young, who actually he preached a service, and he had several churches throughout different campuses. And at one of the sites, they actually had him there by hologram. And they didn't tell the people that that was the case. And so most of the congregation admitted afterward, after they revealed to them, that that was not actually him, it was just a hologram. They did not realize it. They could not tell. So you see that technology even today. And as we go further, as you said, I think it's going to improve more and more. So I could very well see, again, that is the means by which the Antichrist is going to deceive the world into thinking that he's been killed and resurrected. And I agree with you. I don't think that the devil has the power to make life and to bring life from the dead. I think only our God has that power to do so. It's going to be a big deception. We believe such as holograms or maybe you know, any type of technology. But it would not be a surprise at all if holograms. And I love that theory. I never heard the theory that you gave about the pyrotechnics calling down fire. But yeah, I mean, I could really see that happening as well to mimic what the prophet Elijah used in the scripture as well. So yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, now let's look at the technology in medicine. Where have you seen medicine go? As we look back hundreds of years, and here I am sitting, people probably here, I have a kitchen of food, and so I can do some medicine right now. We've seen advancements in medicine throughout history. So where is medicine gone, and where are we now, and where could it go before the end, before our Lord returns?
Well, I would look at certain verses, and for the sick mind, the population, the population of the earth, again, the size that it does. You look at Revelation 16:12, where we read the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, his water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. To give you a physical number, Revelation 9:16, the number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. So what we're talking about here in this given context is near the end of the tribulation, the Antichrist kingdom starts falling apart. He's dealing with the kings of the south, whether he divides the world into 10 kingdoms or there's a particular country, say like Egypt or something else to deal with. And now all of a sudden he hears that, well, now the eastern kings are rebelling against him. One of the 21 judgments against the world is to dry up the Euphrates, and that allows the kings of the east to cross. You hear that there's 200 million of them. I mean, that at the time that this was written in John's mind, there was barely 200 million people on the planet, much less a standing army. And then you talk about how we get to Revelation 14:20. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city. The blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle for a distance of transit, about 180 miles. So what we're talking about is Armageddon. We're talking about a population where, as the Antichrist is putting down these rebellions in the Valley of Jezreel, and the war is going on, and Jesus Christ comes back and defeats the Antichrist and all his armies outside of Jerusalem. And when you read about it, you're talking about 180 miles of blood up to as high as a horse's bridle, maybe a quarter to half, 5 feet high. That's a lot of people dying at Armageddon. And when you jump that into the fact that the tribulation, you've got 7 years of entire decimation of the human population. I mean, just in the first four seals, 1.5 billion people are dead from the war. So that they still have this many people on the planet shows at the end time, you have to have an incredible population explosion. Not possible 200-300 years ago. But through the technologies like, say, medicine and all in health and cleanliness and sanitation and stuff, we've gotten the human population up well above what we used to be. Just 100 years ago, you were lucky if you made it to, say, 40, 50 years old in most countries. There's a great video on YouTube, I wish I had that available. It shows how the demographics have changed just in the last century for population. And we have seen an exponential increase in the human population. I mean, we've had 7 billion, we keep going. So you need that type of population to create that kind of army. So clearly in the Bible, population is one of the things.
Now, what about nuclear weapons? I know there are theories that nuclear weapons is prophesied in Scripture. Revelation speaks of the fact that a third of the earth is going to be burned during the tribulation. So, do you think that nuclear weapons could be one of the means by which that would happen, or do you think it's going to be some other type of natural or technological event?
Well, since the 1940s, we've only dropped two nuclear bombs, both on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But what people don't realize is that was just in warfare. Since then, there's been over 2,000 nuclear detonations on the planet. As different countries, just nine of them, have been testing nuclear weapons. It has been a tremendous stockpile. Most of those who grew up during the Cold War were terrified. I remember as a kid, we used to have nuclear bomb tests where, for some reason, if you went out in the hall and put your head between your legs, you were safe from a nuclear bomb. I don't quite get that. But we used to have those tests. We don't have them much, and our kids don't worry about it. But there's a massive nuclear stockpile. There's madmen, like in North Korea and now in Iran, trying to get nuclear weapons. And that God, to me, there's no doubt, God has held back to release the nuclear weapons. We've got thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons all pointed around. It's getting easier and easier for crazy people to get them. And even the simple dirty bombs. We have madmen trying to build them, and the world not doing anything about it. God has been holding that back. Now, you can go to the Bible and read certain events that clearly sound nuclear in nature. Take, for instance, the destruction of Damascus, Isaiah 17, I'll read verse 14. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. It talks about how the oldest city in the world, Damascus, will be destroyed in one day by Israel. Now, how do you destroy a city, an entire city, in one day? Nuclear weapon. I mean, there's just nothing else out there that can do such a thing. Or take, for instance, when we read Zechariah 14:12. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Again, Armageddon. Their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouth. This is why in Luke 21:26, Jesus said, men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And we can look at the sixth seal judgment, Revelation 6:14-15. The sky was seated like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place, and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks in the mountains. certainly there could be supernatural in origin, but each of these is a first century man, John, explaining what he was seeing, and all of these is exactly what a nuclear weapon would do. Now, for the Antichrist to wipe out 1.5 billion people just in the beginning of the tribulation from this conventional war, he can slaughter a lot of people with guns, but nuclear weapons are very fast. There's not a lot of time. I could read other verses, but basically, Revelation is right in verses that talk about the annihilation of the planet, and the effects are very nuclear in origin. In fact, when you look at the people by the end of the trap, end of the tribulation, they are covered in sores and boils, very like radiation contamination. So, and at the earth, the whole ecosystem is almost destroyed. Couldn't be from conventional war, but would have to be from nuclear war, and whatever supernatural god sends, like asteroids and whatnot. So, yeah, the god, to me, is probably the biggest thing. We are told that when the church is removed, so is the restrainer. We stand in the influence of God is taken out of this world so that man's condition can be let loose. And whatever's been restraining us using nuclear warfare will no longer be there anymore, and man will just feel free to do it. And so the world is facing a very definite nuclear holocaust.
And that last verse that you shared there, that is the description that John gave of nuclear warfare. He said the sky was just on the turn on itself. And I'm ready to see, you know, you see the video of the bomb that just dropped, the mushroom cloud. And I definitely think that is what we saw in the future. Yeah, it's going to be some amazing things that's going to take place in the world tribulation this year. Nuclear warfare. Now let's turn now to space science. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he shared with me that it is believed that if a man exhales in outer space, you know, without any type of protective suit or anything, he will explode. So, the fact that man has figured out ways to go into outer space, travel into outer space, and to explore, it's really just an amazing thing. And I'm sure if you would have told some of the Bible the people from back in the biblical days that someday man would be on the moon and man would be out there amongst the different the asteroids and all these things, that they would say, no way. So how have we seen advancement in space in our era?
Well, let me give you two answers for this. So this would be two separate signs. I would say number 8. We talked about evangelism, and people are counting that was one of the signs of the 9. But the 8th sign, space science, and this is to me the most tentative one. I have no proof in this, but if we go to Isaiah 14:12, we read about Satan. And it says, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. Now, Satan is called morning star or son of the dawn. And I'm just wondering, the International Space Station is up there. $500 billion to build the temple. You know, we've put so much time and energy into it. And if you can see actually the space station going over in the morning, it looks like a bright morning star. Again, I'm being tentative here, hypothetical. But if the whole Earth is being annihilated and you want to protect yourself from it, what's the best way to do that? Get off the Earth. Is the space station being built for a world of need or something? And I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. But that he's called the morning star, that the space station is referred to as the morning star, that the Earth is getting blown up. It's a possibility that it'd be a retreat for him to get away while everything's up on Earth. I'll just throw that out. But a definite sign, not a tentative one like that one, but a definite, is the limitations that we have. The Bible gives us certain limits that we can say, oh, look at technology. We can't go past a certain point. And there's three particular ones. One is the limitations of rare metals. All this technology that we have today, especially TV technology, is based on very rare metals to find. And mostly are in China now. China has an abundance of them that they're not willing really to get them out as much as they used to. One of the reasons that we're in Afghanistan, no one really talks about, is that Afghanistan is pretty rich in these rare metals. So if we want to have our technology that we have today, continuing to our cell phones, tablets, and TVs going, we need these metals. And they are running out, and they're running out very quickly. So there is a limit to this. There's no replacement for these metals, too, unless we're going after meteorites and mining or something, you know, crazy stuff like that. So I believe that our technology is coming to an end based on the limitations of rare metals. The second one is the limitations of space exploration. We asked about the space station. Well, we read in Zechariah 12:1-3 that the tribulation, all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, that is Israel. When we read when Jesus comes back in Matthew 25, all the nations will be gathered before him. So we're talking about humanity is still on the earth. That man is denied with lunar colonies, denied with Mars colonies, or anything Star Trek where we're going extrasolar system. We've already reached the limitations of our space technology. And I would say there's limitations to the tribulation technology, too. You know, we talked about how there will be technology for the tribulation. But as you get to the end of the tribulation, it starts talking about warfare with forces again. Why not tanks and jets? Well, when you have the entire world infrastructure being destroyed, and you have all the solar flares interrupting power grids and stuff like that, by the end of the tribulation, God has taken away mankind's technology as a crutch, and they're pretty well reduced back to primitive fighting. So we have seen through these limitations of the Bible that our technology is almost reaching a point where we've gone as far as we can go.
And I love that explanation. I'm glad you touched that. As I have studied myself when I very first began to study the Bible prophecy. And like so many, I have that question mark. Why in the end are we talking about fighting with horses and chariots? You know, we don't use those things today. And so I was greatly puzzled by that. And I know some of the atheists, the agnostics, they'll try to hang on the scriptures and say, that's why we know this is not true, because we don't do things with horses and chariots anymore. They try to dismiss the scripture. But I think that very well, as you said, that theory in that the fallout from nuclear warfare, the infrastructures, I mean, the electricity, all these things are going to go away, so that will be the means by which we will have to use for travel and for battle, whatever is going to be back as it was back in the old days. So I really like that theory. I'm glad you touched on that.
Great.
So what about, let's go back for again to what we see with the internet. We know today we see an explosion with social sites, Facebook, Twitter. So what are these things doing as we talk with everything? There's a good side and there's a bad side. What are you seeing as far as ways in which, let's take Facebook first, that Facebook's being used for the advancement of the gospel of our Lord?
Well, I'm all for Facebook, Christ and Prophecy Facebook group. That's Lamb and Lion Ministries' own Facebook group. We have over 5,000 people on it sharing and discussing Bible prophecy. We have some fantastic moderators. I love them to death. They're on it 24/7, it seems. We have one guy in Australia, that's why I can say it's 24/7. And they take care of it and make sure it's a safe place, and they weed out any doctrinal errors. And that's just one small example of the many different ways that people are utilizing both that and Twitter to share the gospel. I'm signed up to follow the tweets of over 500 people who every day are tweeting about the gospel. The people that are following them are reading it. Videos. YouTube itself is a social network that's video-based, and people make videos about the gospel. I love this young guy named Blimey Cow, and he gets up and he kind of rants and in a funny way and shares the gospel. He gets like a million hits for every video. I mean, you know, it's not professionally done or anything. I mean, people are finding new and creative ways to utilize the internet. The internet is a communication tool, nothing more than a communication tool. And if it's a tool that the Lord's given us at this time period, and we as Christians should utilize it. You know, maybe it's not our thing. You know, we have all sorts of, there's still people on the earth who don't have the internet or have technology, and we're sending missionaries to reach them and translate the Bible to them. It really all ties up to Matthew 24:14, which reads, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And here Jesus is telling us that in the last days, the whole world will get the gospel. Now, I'm not saying it's for the church age. For the church age, we certainly can reach all these different people. But during the tribulation, that 7 years, you know, we know the technology continues to exist at least in the first half or so. We know that all that we've been building, Rapture Ready site, Lamb and Lion site, all these different videos, we've had a Left Behind video, we've got all over the internet, we'll be there to evangelize people. And we have the two witnesses from Jerusalem, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. We have a gospel angel that will go over the whole earth to make sure that every single person in the tribulation has heard the gospel so that none are without excuse. And so every single opportunity for this to be fulfilled will be fulfilled at that time. But we're seeing quite the custom. This is God, what I believe firmly, is the last push to give us every means possible to get the gospel out before the tribulation. Because then when the people in the tribulation are getting the gospel, it's under the circumstances of God's 21 judgment.
Amen. Now, what about those who really push against computers and push against the internet, push against Facebook? Because there are those who say there are a lot of perverts out there. They don't want their children on Facebook for those reasons. What can you tell them and things they can do, measures for parents or even ones who are just say for themselves personally they don't want to be involved with it? What advice can you give to them as to how they can use things like Facebook and Twitter as good tools that can save when using them as well?
Well, it's getting harder and harder technologically. It was easier when it was just websites. You could get web like NetNanny or some of those programs to filter. A lot of companies will use WebSense and some of these other programs that will block certain websites. The more restricted countries like China and North Korea have even stronger at the telecoms. That's where they're blocking a lot of stuff. So it is possible to block parts of the internet. Not totally. That's one of the great things about the internet is even if a whole section goes down, it's like a network. It's like a nerve network. It reroutes around. So it keeps the internet up. So you can't take down the internet except through solar activity. And that's why I think one of the signs is that. The discernment, the number one is you've got to teach your children God's word. They've got to be able to make the choices for themselves when they see that picture or they go across that website that they say, it's not what God wants them to do. And I know in children, if it's harder and they're younger, and so you want to put every software possible. You want to put the computer out where everybody can see it so they're not hiding. It's getting more difficult as their cell phones, their 3DSs, all their devices can access whatever the heck they want now. You know, you'd have to regulate the times probably that they go. But they're going to be exposed to this stuff no matter what. Even go to a message board that's not even blocked. And somebody's avatar could be a naked person. I mean, I run into that all the time. When I do searches for Google Images, invariably someone's tagged an image that's totally inappropriate that shows up under licorice or... And it's anything you look up. You can't protect your children totally by software. You have to do it by teaching them to be discerning in ourselves. I'm not just going to say children. As many adults fall under that problem. Because the internet is a reflection of the real world. In the real world, there's good neighborhoods and there's bad neighborhoods. There's good places to visit and there's bad places. And the internet is just like that. I would not go to downtown Detroit and hang out. Safely. I'm not going to go to whitehouse.com, which I don't think exists anymore, but you know not to go to the places that are bad. And it's increasingly, I agree, man, it is increasingly harder and harder to protect yourselves, but the best protection for your children is that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they know the word, and they know how to discern good from evil.
Amen. Now, as we look at going forward with technology, I think about the things that God says He has so many wonderful things in store for us. I look today in amazement at things like high definition television, 1080p, and with all respect. And you look at that picture, how beautiful it is. But I think to myself, on the other hand, the Lord is probably sitting there saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet." You know what? And the only thing we can do is speculate. But is there any way, even as humans, we can get our hands around the things that God has in the future for us, in the eternal state, when we go away from this side of life, so that's going to just completely blow our great technological advances out of the water?
There was an atheist a few months ago, scientist, I forget his name at the moment, but he came out and he actually declared that we have pretty much figured out everything there is to know. I mean, yeah, what kind of audacity is that? I don't think we've begun to touch the things that it's, the Bible repeatedly says that God's knowledge, His information, is endless, that nothing can be taught by Him. That Paul said in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out." In other words, God's knowledge is endless. And so when we are in heaven, some folks believe that when we get to heaven that we'll just know everything. Well, that's impossible because then we'd be all-knowing and that would make us God. That's not the case. We're going to spend eternity chasing God's knowledge, chasing Him and His relationship, and becoming more knowledgeable, NPHD, so to say, after 1,000 years or so. But it's endless to know. And so when we read about the Bible, it says that no mind can comprehend what God has prepared for us.
It's really true. I, in my limited human physical brain, I can't comprehend, but I can get excited about what the Bible does tell us. You had a, Brian, I love your sermon where you talked about heaven, and you showed that we have tangible physical bodies. We live in a new Jerusalem, on a new earth, a perfected earth, a perfected body, and that the entire universe, which sits dormant out there now, will be our playground. And who knows what God has. I hope God lets me have a nice farm. Maybe have me terraform a whole planet. I don't know. The possibilities are just endless. So, you know, the real riches of heaven isn't, you know, what kind of technology we can have. I believe during the Millennial Kingdom there will be quite a lot of technology. God's going to rule from Jerusalem here on earth. But that doesn't mean that he won't let mankind use technology. And again, technology is just using what we know to solve problems and to make stuff. And if God's going to give us that ability, and we'll continue, then there could be some fantastic technologies out there during the Millennial Kingdom, even during the eternal state. Who knows what kind of cities God will have us build here or in other worlds or out in space. Or maybe God will have new creations coming up throughout eternity. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think what God has in store for believers in Christ. And that's why for people who hold on so much to this world, to their TVs, like you said, their high-def TVs that fill their lives with stuff. That stuff is like a rusty old cruddy penny compared to the billions and trillions of gazillions of dollars and riches that God has for us. Not financially, but in mind.
So people shouldn't flush their lives down the toilet
and eventually end up going to hell over the junk. And that's what we have. Even our best, our nicest computers are junk compared to what heaven has in store for us.
That. So it's not that far fetched to think that in the Millennial Kingdom that Jesus Christ may be driving around in a Bentley.
You know, I've only ever pictured Jesus driving a donkey, but you know, when you think about it, Jesus driving around in a car. I always pictured him more of a Jeep, big knobby tire type guy myself.
Well, I'm sure he'll have some for no matter what.
As the Pope.
Yeah.
That's the old joke.
Right, those are just great things that you shared with us concerning the science of technology. I think that the scripture does prophesy many things. And I think we are living right in the midst of it. And we're just in a very privileged time and age. And I think that there are many of the biblical prophets, the saints, that would love to be in our shoes today. And I've told people that all the time to not take for granted what we are seeing and what we're experiencing. I do believe we are the generation that will see the return of Jesus Christ. But we a lot of us take things for granted. We look at technology and just all the different signs that are pointing to our Lord's return. So this is just wonderful, great information. And if you could, before we close, just share with our listeners how they can find out more about this information, how they can get in touch with you to learn more about the ministry, Lamb and Lion, and just all the great things that you're doing.
Okay. Well, Lamb and Lion Ministries is a nonprofit Bible teaching ministry. Our purpose is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. It's founded by Dr. David Reagan, who's our senior evangelist, and I'm the web minister and associate evangelist. We have a television show called Christ in Prophecy. We practice what we preach. We're going to use technology to reach the world. Dr. Reagan had a vision of using technology to reach the world. He brought me on to help facilitate that. And so we use Mission Through Christ and Prophecy, and you can find us on Daystar, the NRB network, and Church Channel, and other networks. We have, of course, an internet at lamblion.com. Through there, you can reach our Facebook group and our Twitter group. We have a blog if you need a daily dose of Bible prophecy at lamblion.us. We have a newsletter you can sign up, and every other week you'll get a newsletter to teach you about Bible prophecy and what's going on in the world. We have all sorts of videos that we put out there. We have a YouTube channel, a Vimeo channel, even a Daily Motion channel to get the word out and share with people around the planet, especially in places where people don't hear the gospel anymore, much less Bible prophecy. And so we try to get out there and reach people through that technology and share Christ with them.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Nathan, for joining us. And to our listeners, I highly recommend to visit lamblion.com if you've never visited the website. Great information, just a wonderful ministry, great God-fearing, God-loving people that are willing to help you with anything, any questions that you have, anything concerning the return of our Lord, for that matter, anything concerning Jesus Christ, just coming to know him and being a part of his kingdom. highly recommend Lamb and Lion Ministry. So thank you again, Nathan. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. Jesus Christ said, when you see all these things begin to happen, look up and watch, because our Redeemer draws near. So until next time, we need blessings to all.
This is Rapture Ready Radio.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed, you set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
God redeemed.